WW, where people share the music they love. 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Find our program schedule in every issue of Stylist Magazine.
Hi, folks. It's Friday afternoon, which means it's time for another edition of Let's Play DJ. This is the show where every week I have a different guest on to talk about music they like and listen to it. Today, my guest is an incredibly prolific singer-songwriter coming from Durham, North Carolina, I believe. His Grammy-nominated project, his called Messenger, is playing at the West End Cultural Center this coming weekend, or next weekend. For interruption, it's MC Taylor from his called Messenger. Hey, MC.
Hey, Jacob.
Let's Play DJ.
Ready.
How's it going?
Going well.
Thanks for joining me.
It's so happy to be here.
It looks well. That's kind of you to say. it looks much warmer where you are than where I am.
Yeah, I mean it's all relative, right? It feels cold for North Carolina, but
fair enough.
Probably has nothing on where you're at.
Probably not, but you'll find out soon enough. the format of the show is basically you send me a list of tunes and we listen to them, we talk about them. Was there any, like, what was the sort of the, so I have your list here. Was there any specific thought behind it? Like, some people do, like, you know, these are the seven most formative songs of my life.
I'm not saying
you should have done that.
No, not really, except, like, I tried to go with all stuff that I love.
Cool.
I tried to go, you know, between genres a little bit. I mean, I touch on a few genres. But really, it's just, like, stuff that I think it's, like, songs that I can listen to over and over again.
Nice. Okay, well, maybe we'll just get started with the first one, and then we'll start chatting about some stuff. This first one I have queued up is Machine Gun by Hendrix.
Yeah. That's from the Band of Gypsies live record.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jimi Hendrix. I'm not, like, an obsessive, you know what I mean? I'm not, there are a million people more qualified to talk about Jimi Hendrix, but this record I find, it's my favorite Jimi Hendrix record. And I find this record kind of popping up over and over again in my life for reasons I can't explain, other than it just presses a very specific button for me, I think, musically.
Cool.
I just love, like, the sort of kinetic energy of the performance. And I mean, his guitar playing is undeniable, generational. It's like there's nobody has touched it. I feel like, just, you know, the sentiments of the tune, I mean, just the sound effects that he makes of basically essentially like warfare.
Yeah.
feel very, very timely now with everything that's going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And I think even, like, at the beginning, he introduces the tune by saying something to the effect of, I want to dedicate this song to the people fighting, to the soldiers fighting overseas in Vietnam and to the soldiers fighting here. And I just have really been thinking a lot. I think any thinking American has been thinking a lot about the soldiers fighting in the streets here.
Yeah. All right. Well, here it is. Machine Gun.
We have about a million or 2 million more of them. If we can get over the summer. Yeah. We'll have to dedicate this one to, such a draggy scene that's going on. All the soldiers that are fighting in Chicago and Milwaukee and New York. Oh, yes, and all the soldiers fighting in Vietnam. about to do a thing called Machine Gun.
Machine Gun from the Band of Gypsies live record by Jimi Hendrix. You listen to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob Rodofsky. I'm here with His Golden Messenger, or MC Taylor from His Golden Messenger. Yeah, what a great first song. Holy. It's 12 minutes, so I didn't play the whole thing because we're a little strapped for time. I hope that's okay.
That's right.
Maybe that was intentional. You know, it's funny. I was, you know, I've just been going through your records and stuff. Prepping for this interview, and I couldn't help but think, like, you've put out a lot of albums in a reasonably short amount of time, so are you just on like a perpetual press tour?
No, I'm not. Trying not to be.
Yeah. What's your practice like how intentional is that, sort of having such a consistent output? Like, what's your writing practice like? Are you pretty disciplined with that?
I mean, it is what I do for a living. So if I'm not, if I'm at home, you know, my job is to make music.
Yeah.
So if I'm not making music and I'm allowed to take as many to work on my own schedule, and I'm allowed to take as much time away from the instruments as I want to, but, you know, I make music. Yeah. That's what I do. You know, I mean, it's kind of like my whole life is set up to create
right.
music. So, I don't keep a schedule. Like, I don't go downstairs into my studio and say, like, I got to write from 9 till 11 or whatever. I know that that works for a lot of people. That's been something that I've attempted with varying degrees of success in the past. I think at this point in my musical journey, like, that's not something that totally, you know, serves what I'm trying to do.
Totally.
But I am, you know, in a life that, like, you know, my willpower is shaky, but in terms of creating music, just because I love it so much, like, I don't have to put my nose to the grindstone in too painful a way. You know, I mean, it's labor intensive in the extreme.
Right.
But always in the service of something that I think is really beautiful. So it doesn't feel as painful as maybe another job would be to me. And I've had a lot of other jobs.
It's interesting when you say, like, I want to pick up on that idea of, like, having shaky willpower. I think that's really, especially, like, in sort of creative pursuits, I feel like that's something that's quite common. Do you have, like, do you have, like, sort of, like, go-to, like, when things start to feel shaky, let's say, do you have sort of go-to strategies that be like, okay, this will get me back into it? Or is it just kind of a wait and see kind of thing?
I mean, I think that, like, my sort of, like, pole star with music is, like, melody and harmony. And, like, when I hear a song that just, like, gets me right in the guts, that is often something that makes me go, like, man, that is so good. Like, there's almost no other medium that can get me so viscerally the way that, like, a really good song can. So sometimes that's enough. Sometimes it requires, like, some silence, just, like, step away from music and like, just don't even touch an instrument. Sometimes it's, like, spending time with words, like, printed words on a page. You know, I have, like, a massive shelf full of books of poetry that, like, sometimes can just trigger some flight that is helpful. You know, I love music. Like, as a listener, I'm a huge and very omnivorous music fan. So,
omnivorous.
Yeah.
So not just the veggies.
Everything, man. Like, I'll listen to anything that you put in front of me.
Cool.
I won't necessarily like it all, but. You know, for, like, a person that rightfully is considered a singer-songwriter, I don't listen to music that would be considered singer-songwriter music almost at all, ever.
You know, I find that's pretty common, especially with folks that are, like really doing it. I've had that conversation with a couple people.
No doubt. I think that, like, for those of us that are putting, like, words and chords together year after year, decades, like, I think a lot of us go searching for other ways to assemble music, because we might find something that doesn't exist in our quote-unquote realm, but be able to bring in some version of it. So that's often, like, the part of my brain that is, like, always composing, that part of my brain is, like, seeking other ways when I'm listening to other kinds of music.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Let's play another song. You got Link Ray next on the list, who I was introduced to a couple years ago through, I think there was a documentary about him.
Yeah, well, he was in the, like, I forget what it was called, like a native.
Yeah.
Native.
But he's a monster. Yeah, where'd you come across this song?
Yeah, so this Link Ray record, Link Ray is most famous for his instrumental tune called Rumble,
yes,
which was banned by banned on the radio when it first came out, even though there's no words to it, because just
so
the
sinful
tone and energy of it is I don't know, just scared people, I guess. I sort of understand what they're talking about, but so this particular record in Link Wray's discography comes from later. So at this point, he is singing and he's writing songs. This is from the early 70s. Link Wray was always a musician's musician. Like, mm-hmm. the musicians, even of his time period, knew the deal with him. But he'd never had a ton of commercial success beyond Rumble. Link Wray was born and raised in North Carolina, which is like a big thing for me because I live in North Carolina. So he grew up in a very small town in eastern North Carolina called Dunn. And but at a certain point, he and his family, with whom he was very tight, moved up to Maryland. And they basically, he and his brothers and the guy that produced this particular self-titled Link Wray record and the next couple records after this, they put together a very, very ramshackle recording studio in a chicken coop. And they called it Link Wray's three-track shack because it was a four-track recorder, but only three of the tracks worked. So this record, that the song Fallen Rain is from, was recorded basically on three tracks, and everything sounds funky. The piano is out of tune. The drumming is super wonky. You can tell that these guys were kind of just doing it all themselves, but there is something so transcendent and just deep about this record. It's full of incredible songs. In a lot of ways, it's in line with like a record like the band's Big Pink record, where you can tell these guys were all hanging with each other at home, making records with their families around and just using what they had. Yeah. And so I have always been attached to this record since I first heard it when I was like in my 20s.
Right on. Here's Fallen Rain.
I hear a sound, it's going through my brain. I hear talk of people, I feel the falling rain. I see a man crying, cause the whole world has let him down. And funny faces of a clown. My mind is like a spring in a clock, it won't unwind. I can't see, I can't think, I can't feel, I'm out of time. I'm up and beginning again, my friend. Faces in the eyes of me. young men dying all around. And it keeps going through my brain, and I can still hear the sound. I hear talking of people, the whole world has gone insane. And all there is left is the falling rain. And all there is left is the falling rain.
From 1971, that was Link Wray with Fallen Rain. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Coming to you pre-taped on this Wednesday afternoon, and or it's a morning. And I'm joined by MC Taylor from His Gold Messenger, who's playing at the West End Cultural Center next week for part of a Winter Eruption Festival. Tickets at reallovewinnipeg.com. That song moved me quite intensely.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful, man.
Holy.
The whole record. Yeah, the whole record is deep.
Yeah, I'm gonna dig into that. When you were introducing it, sort of talking about how like janky it was recorded and stuff, but still, like, it's so lush.
Yeah, I mean, they were working some kind of magic. I've read a little bit about there is a collection of all three records that he and his brothers made. They're called something like Ray's Three Track Shack Recordings. Mm-hmm. And with that, there is like a lot of information about just how they made that, stuff. Cause it doesn't sound like it's missing anything, but
no.
I know that their resources were super limited.
Well, and I mean, I've done a little bit of like four track tape recording and stuff, and like having to do like the, you know, recording two tracks, bouncing it to another track, recording, bounce it. Like,
yeah.
You can't, there's no room for mistakes, really.
Yeah, exactly right. You got to commit to what you're trying
to do.
Oh,
man. Yeah, there's some magic there. Holy. I wanted to ask you about like being like a band leader and sort of the idea behind like the His Gold Messenger band. I think I saw you play at Winnipeg Folk Fest a while. I mean, I guess that was like 5, 6, 7 years ago now. And I remember I wasn't that familiar with your stuff at the time. And I remember being so struck with like how joyous your band looked on stage. And I mean, a lot of that was Phil Cook, obviously. but I think, you know, it didn't feel like a band of hired guns, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And
that's the idea.
Yeah.
To make it look like the band of hired guns are not hired guns.
Well, and I'm curious sort of how you approach that, because you have a pretty consistent lineup that plays with you, more or less.
I mean, it depends. It depends on where I'm at, and it kind of depends. But I mean, my thing has always been like, do my best to find the people that think they are going to be sympathetic with the music that I'm trying to make, and then let them do their thing. You know, like put on some boundaries about like what it is that I'm looking for, but then like kind of let them find their own thing. Like one thing that has always been the case hey Casco, come here. One thing that's always been the case with when I hire someone new and then I'll talk to them a couple months into their tenure with the band, they'll often say like, I just didn't really know what exactly you wanted because you didn't really say anything. And my answer is always like, well, if something is sounding off, I'll definitely say something. So,
yeah.
You know, it's probably like a good sign that I didn't say anything. Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to like finding the right people. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I've found someone that really felt like I wanted them to be a part of the music for a long time, and sometimes not.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. What can you put a finger on like what qualities you look for in sort of hiring musicians?
I mean, I would say the first thing is that they have to be nice and kind and not a jerk.
Yeah, okay.
Not a jerk. Feels like really important.
Yeah. Already disqualifies a lot of people, like, probably.
I would say, like, right alongside that is would be like a really immaculate sense of rhythm, you know, because like for how song based His Gold Messenger is, it's really rhythmic music and requires like a really keen sense of rhythm and swing and pocket, whatever, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that, I mean, I have like a whole, like, when I'm trying out like a new drummer, sorry, I just took the dog out for a sec.
No, you're good.
When I'm trying a new drummer out, I have all kinds of stuff that I will sort of like have them play in very specific ways. Sorry. I'll have them play in very specific ways to see if they can do the thing that I'm looking for.
Can you can you expand on that? I'm very curious. What's the His Gold Messenger drum workout?
Oh. Well,
Levon Helm?
What's that?
Levon Helm?
Levon is a big one for me. I mean, for my music, like, a groove that appears over and over and over again throughout the entire discography is like what I would think of as like a 16th note on the hat.
Yeah.
Either swung or straight with a feel that is like halftime. So like,
yeah.
You know, Levon did a version of that, but like it appears in lots of like funk and R&B and New Orleans music. So like that halftime groove with a 16th note, either straight or swung. And I generally am asking the drummer to play it cross stick. So like not open, which is a different feel.
Yeah. Yeah, and a different muscle thing too, right? Like
different. Yeah, different. It feels different. It sounds different. And I have auditioned. I had this one guy come down who I won't even say his name. He's an incredible drummer. Like I would be honored to play with him. But like, I was like, okay, let's play a 16th note groove. And he started playing it open, and I was like, can you play a cross stick? And he was like, oh, that's not really how I would play that. And I was like, it's how it has to be. and he didn't end up like doing the gig.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's just the thing.
Totally. I think that's super cool though. Like talking about letting people do their thing, but also like with pretty specific parameters, it sounds like you have an idea of what you want.
Yeah, I definitely have I have a vision, you know, like that is what people are coming into my universe for, is
for
like
sure.
this vision, this universe that I have like sort of created. It's not like it's just like a combination of things that have always existed musically, but they're being put together in a new way that is very specifically me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that anybody that is like works as like a side person, they want and need that.
They
need to like both have the freedom to find their voice within this picture that I have created. And they also need to have someone running the thing that's like, you know what, not quite that.
Yeah.
So
was that intentionality behind the project? Like, was that present from day one, or is that something that sort of developed over time?
I mean, my ability to do it, to run the thing, like with kindness and open heartedness, that's like always developing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I never want anyone to feel bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, my ability to just be a leader is like something that I am just learning about every single day with every interaction. Mm-hmm. But the impetus for starting His Golden Messenger was like, I'm going to make a thing that is like my thing. I'm the boss. You know, what I say goes. I have this vision for what I want it to be, to feel like, to sound like. And like the other side of that coin is like, I'm responsible for making it happen. So like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to come to the band and be like, guys, let's make a record. Just let's all throw our money in together. Like, if I'm going to make a record, I'm going to find the funding for it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do a tour, I'm going to pay for the bus. I'm going to pay everyone's daily rates. It's going to be under my booking agent. So it's hard.
Yeah.
And
you got to do all that feels, and then play every night.
Yeah, I got to do all that and then show up like I never thought about any of that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I need to show up on stage light and open and ready to go. But like, that's the job. That's mm-hmm. like what I want. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I can't complain too much about it. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, oh, man. Yeah, I like that perspective a lot. I think we live in this time when it's like harder and harder to be a band, to have like a true band, and bands that are doing it have either an immense amount of wealth behind them or some other something that's kind of going, you know what I mean? But I think threading that needle between being, you know, having ownership over your own project, but still being like respectful of the folks that you're bringing along with you and trying to have.
Well, I mean, I love collaboration.
Yeah.
I think that collaboration can conjure things that I alone could never come up
totally.
With on my own.
Totally.
Right. So like collaboration requires you to be open and vulnerable mm-hmm. and all of these things that are so important for other parts of being a human,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, being
so
humble.
Like, it's also just like a lesson every day about like, I gotta be open. I gotta learn how to communicate in a way that is respectful and joyful. And, so, you know, I'm carrying all the stuff that I learn in my musical life into the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say about being a musician now is I agree with you that, you look out into the musical landscape and like the only explanation for how certain acts sort of rise to the top is just an immense amount of wealth and privilege behind them. Like I kind of think that too. Like, how do people do it other than to do it the way I've done it, which is like, you know, I didn't grow up with money.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like commit to this path when I was like 17 years old.
Yeah,
and, it's not to say that I knew what I was doing. It took mm-hmm. me a very, very long time to like hone and sharpen my vision of mm-hmm. what I wanted to do. But I just like kept showing up every day. I kept writing songs. I kept making records. I started making records that I made for $500, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. You know, it grew very incrementally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I think we could talk about this for another 90 minutes, but I'll throw to a song. Speaking of bands, but also solo artists, we have a Bob Weir solo song next on the list here, which is obviously very timely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a big Deadhead?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I am. I mean, I would say that like, I'm pretty meat and potatoes mm-hmm. when it comes to like what my favorite Dead stuff is. But I think, for so many different reasons, they feel so important to mm-hmm. to the musical landscape and to what I think of as good music. And But also with this particular Bob Weir track, this was a record that was produced by my dear friend Josh Kaufman, who also produced the new Hiss record that's coming. So
cool. I'm a big Josh Kaufman fan.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing, yeah. Amazing guy. Yeah. Like a very dear friend for many, many years.
Cool.
And he has like a million hilarious stories about the making of that Bob Weir record that I'm not at liberty to tell, but they like even thinking about them makes me chuckle. You know, Josh is such a huge Grateful Dead fan. I know that he was like just over the moon to have made that record. And I think that he did such an incredible job with it. Like he distilled something really special in Bob's songwriting onto that record. Like, just beautiful and like, yeah, amazing.
Cool. Here's Only a River.
I was born up in the mountains, raised up in a desert town, and I never saw the ocean till I was close to your age now. Oh, Shenandoah, long to see you. Hey, 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 you rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, long to see you.
Listen to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jake Wardowski. I'm here with MC Taylor of His Golden Messenger. Man, talking about gut punches, holy. It's funny, We were talking earlier about how you don't, for someone who makes a living writing songs, you don't listen to a lot of like lyrical music and it's funny, a friend of mine who also like is a quite prolific songwriter and, you know, about as successful as any Canadian songwriters can hope to be. He also doesn't really listen to lyrical music, but he listens to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Well, they touch on like so many different parts of music. I think that's why a lot of us are drawn to them. Like it's a new experience every time. Mm-hmm. It's not always great, but when it's great, it's really great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful. You mentioned Josh Kaufman. I know a few folks that have made records with him who, I mean, I think for both of them, both like one of the most positive recording experiences and also definitely like some of their best work that they've made. We're also talking about drummers. I think, did I see JT Bates playing on your new record?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just nerd out about Josh Kaufman and JT Bates for a second? Cause like, I'm a huge Bonnie Light Horseman fan and like, what was it like working with, like what was it like making that record?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. So, the sort of like third leg of that stool is our buddy Cameron Ralston, who's a bass player.
Yeah. He also plays with Bonnie Light Horseman, right?
He also plays with Bonnie. And all three of those guys, long before Bonnie ever was a thing, all three of them played in Hiss.
Cool. Okay.
So Josh played guitar and his Golden Messenger, and at that same time JT was playing drums and his Golden Messenger, so that's how they met.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
and then Cameron, there's another musician that is the equal of those guys named Michael Ibermento. Mm-hmm. And he was playing in the band at that time too. And so when Bonnie Light Horseman started becoming a touring thing, first it was Libro that was playing bass.
Right.
This is what we call him. And then after Libro, Cameron started playing bass. So, all of those guys met through His Golden Messenger is how they met. And we've done a lot of different stuff together. Like Josh and I have written a lot of songs together that he's taken to other people. And JT and Cameron and I do a very under the radar project called Revelators, which is like all instrumental sort of like weirdo jazz dub music. So the three of us spend a lot of time together too.
Cool.
And like when I produce a record, it's off, those guys are like my first call people. So we have a lot of different very rich connections. Mm-hmm. Had not made a His Golden Messenger record altogether.
Okay. Despite playing in the band.
Despite playing in the band, yeah.
Cool. Like,
all of them had played separately on stuff.
Right, right.
Never all of us together.
Oh, wow. That must have been so... I mean, I imagine it was a
it was. It was so special.
Yeah.
It was so special.
Cool. I guess you'll be talking about that. When's that coming out? Can we talk about that yet or not yet?
I don't think I can say it quite yet.
Right, fair enough. Well, I'm grateful to you for putting those folks together because I saw Bonnie last fall. I had never seen them live before, and like just one of the most captivating live performances I've ever seen in my life. Like just they were electric.
Yeah. I mean JT is like such a special such a special drummer, and honestly, like, you know, all my rules for drummers that we were talking about earlier.
they kind of
go out the window.
Totally.
With JT, like, you just sort of get what you get when he shows up, and you have to know that, like, he's gonna do it his way, but it's gonna be incredible, which is like not something that I would really accept from a lot of musicians, but with JT,
he gets a pass.
JT, it's kind of like, okay, dude, just do your thing, and we'll just all be there together. Like
I find he very much plays. He doesn't play it like a rhythm instrument.
Oh my god, dude! Like his internal clock is so impeccable.
Yeah.
That like his playing is really an object lesson in just being in the moment. So
totally.
If you surrender to the idea that you're all playing in the moment and it requires concentration and communication with each other, then it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to hear that. Again, we could probably nerd out about that for a long time, but we don't have time. Got about probably what time for one more song. This next one I got queued up is the Sam Amidon song. Are you cool to play that one?
Sure.
Yeah. What's Friends and Neighbors? Tell me about this. I haven't heard this before.
Well, Sam is an amazing just musical mind.
Cool.
I don't know him. I'd love to meet him. We have a lot of mutual friends. So Sam, if you're listening to local Canadian radio,
it's got big reach this program. So that's it's likely.
Please please reach out to me. And I would say this was maybe one of my favorite of just a handful of like new records from last year.
Cool.
I just think that Sam has such a special touch and does such a special thing. And this particular song is a cover, I guess you would say, of an Ornette Coleman song. Ornette has a live record called Friends and Neighbors. And the title track is a sort of, you know, there's a jazz accompaniment, but there's also like a sung refrain, which is Friends and Neighbors. That's where it's at, which like is so simple and so beautiful, and like I really feel that very, very profoundly right at this moment.
Yeah, right on. Here it is.
Friends and neighbors, that's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's a fact. Friends and that's the goal, hand in hand, soul, soul, soul. Friends and neighbors, that's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's a fact. Hand in hand, that's the goal, hand in hand, soul, soul, soul. That's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's where it's at. Friends and neighbors, that's a fact. Hand in hand, that's the goal. Hand in hand, soul, soul, soul.
And Neighbors by Sam Amidon. You're listening to last couple minutes of Let's Play DJ here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, or potentially on a podcast. I'm here with MC Taylor from His Golden Messenger, nerding out about good music. MC, thanks so much for joining me. This has been such a treat to chat with you, and I really gotta say I really loved every song you picked.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I wish that every interview was like this. It would make me much more interested in doing interviews.
Oh, that's very kind.
Play my favorite music.
That's very kind. What's it like playing solo? Like, do you prefer solo shows over band shows? Probably not. Or do you, like, how do you feel about solo shows? I'm excited for the Winnipeg show.
It depends where I'm at. Like, if yeah. I've been doing a ton of band touring, then playing alone feels like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And if I've been playing a lot of solo shows, then I start getting itchy to play with other people. Mm. I would say that, like, I'm maybe closer to the latter right now. Just because this past year, I've kind of been off the road as I've been working on a lot of different projects. Mm-hmm. But the shows I have played have mostly been solo. Mm-hmm. So, these particular shows are probably going to be some of the very last solo shows I play before we start the whole band machine up again. Right. So, I love it all.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
I mean, it's kind of like asking me, what's your favorite kind of pizza? It's like, I mean, I'm never going to say no to a slice of pizza.
Fair enough. I can identify with that.
So it'll be really fun.
Right on. It's a beautiful room that you're playing. One of the best in town. So, I usually ask the guests to pick a song of their own to go out on. I won't make you listen to it, but I'll put it in after. What's a hiss song you'd like the folks to hear?
Sure. Gosh. Let me think for just a second what that might be.
While you do that, I'll plug some things. Okay. Let's Play DJ airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. You can also head over to CKUW.ca to find all the other excellent volunteer-run programming the station provides. I'm at Instagram at Jacob Rudofsky or at Let's Play DJ Radio. We're also on as a podcast if you do that, so you can find podcasts. Was that enough time for you?
Well, that was enough time. Let's go out with a tune from Heart Like a Levee called Happy Day.
Right on. Here's Happy Day by His Golden Messenger. Have a great weekend, folks.
Hi, this is Death Cassette wishing CKUW 95.9 FM a happy 25 years on the FM dial.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice-weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. And kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
Testing.
Every Tuesday night, unfold the sonic blanket and wrap yourself in the sounds of punk, indie rock, electronic, and much more from near and far. We get cozy every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 on CKUW 95.9 FM.